We all know that there is some technology that we don't really need. We may use it, but we don't really need it. But then there's technology that we really do need. It's not the same for everyone, but I want to begin this morning by just telling you that for me, the single greatest piece of technology in the 21st century is the GPS. Because I was born without a sense of direction. None. You know how they say that men won't ask directions? I'll ask anyone. Because I know my instincts are always wrong. I'm sure I should turn right here, and it's always left. And if you spin me around, I can't find my way out of the box that I was put in the first place. And I don't know why that is, but it has always been true and still is true. So much so that I can go somewhere 100 times, and for some reason, my mind gets scrambled, and the 101st time, I get it wrong. I live across the street for a good reason. because God only knows what would happen to me if I actually had to drive here. And so for me, it's not only that, but by the way, I have, and this is true, I have gotten lost with the GPS because it can't recalibrate as quickly as I make mistakes. So it has this map on it that you're supposed to be able to read while you drive, and I can't read maps. I don't know. I remember that actually Ben-Gurion and Churchill bonded over the fact that they could both read maps, which was rare among heads of state. And when I read that, I thought I could be a head of state, I guess, because I can't read a map. And if it's rare among heads of state, I have all the qualifications. I bring this up because the other day, I was struck by an interview that I listened to because of this infirmity with which I was born, that I listened to with an author of a book called You Are Here, Why We Can Find Our Way to the Moon But Get Lost in the Mall. And I thought, he's talking to me. And he said, among other things, there really are two things that I want to talk about that he said, but one of the things he said, which you might find interesting or you might not, is that men tend to work by positioning and women relationally. He said, men will say the northeast corner and women will say you take a left and then a right. Right? Because women think, I don't know if this is true or not, neither one helps me, but nonetheless, I know my left from my right, it's just I don't know which left to take. But he said two things, and I just want to share these two things with you this morning. Because he was talking about directions, but it occurred to me that this was a perfect spiritual sermon before the high holidays. He said, when people get lost, there are two things that they need to remember that get violated all the time, and as a result, sometimes terrible things happen, because after all, when people get lost, if they're not found, depending on the conditions, it can be quite serious. He said, first of all, when you are lost, stop. He said, people have a strange tendency when they're lost to speed up. They go in the wrong direction faster than they went in the direction that they're already in, because they want to quickly undo, and they have this sense of panic that they're lost. So it made me think of something that's actually in the Al-Chets that we say each year. We say, for the sin which we've committed by running to do evil. And I always thought, who runs to do evil? If you're going to do evil, you do evil. You don't have to run. And then I remember several years ago realizing what it was all about. You know what running to do evil is if you've ever been on a diet. Because this is what happens when you're on a diet. There are 3 cookies left. Now, you can't waste, but you're not supposed to eat them. But if you eat them fast, then it doesn't count. So you quickly eat all the cookies and then you're done. And there is some part of us that feels like if we do something quickly, I know I'm not supposed to do this, so I'll just take this money and I'll be done. And so The idea of running to do evil is not that eating three cookies is evil, but by analogy, doing something that really is wrong, our impulse to do something wrong fast so that our conscience won't trouble us is sort of analogous to when you're lost, go in whatever direction you pick quickly because that will solve it. So he said, first of all, you have to stop. You're more likely to be found if you stop than if you keep moving in the wrong direction. And the second thing he said was the other mistake that people make when they are lost is they don't appreciate that they're lost. He said being lost is part of the human experience. And when you're lost, you discover things that you don't discover when you're on the path you're supposed to be walking on. And if you could feel not so worried about it, realize you'll get found, you'll get there, everything will be all right, and actually understand and appreciate and perhaps even enjoy the experience of being lost, then not only would you be more likely to be found, but also when you are, you won't be found panicking, sweating, worried, terrified. And when I heard both of those things, I thought, that's exactly what we know about being lost in life. First of all, when we're on the wrong path, we tend to move faster on that path rather than just stopping. Stopping is scary. Stopping is like the Roadrunner cartoons. You remember the coyote would run off the cliff, and as long as he would run and his feet would keep moving, he'd stay in the air. But the moment he stopped, he fell like a stone. And we're afraid to stop, to evaluate where we are, because we think if we stop, we're doomed. But stopping can be the beginning of salvation. It's the same reason that people, in the old phrase, throw good money after bad. I've made such an investment. How can I stop now? But of course, you can and you should. Because when you're lost, you have to pause to see where you are. And then, if you're uncertain about the direction of your life, if you feel unsettled about your relationships, if you don't know where you're going, don't be too quick to resolve the lostness in your life. Appreciate the fact that being lost is part of the process of exploration. That maybe you need to stay in the place where you're lost, learn from it and understand it, and even appreciate what it does to your soul before you can be found. Or before you can find. That idea is related to everything that we learn about in the Torah when time and time again individuals and a people are in the wilderness. What's all this wandering about? It's to teach people how to be lost before they're found. To appreciate the fact that the journey is most of life and the destination a small part of it. That being lost can give you some of the most enriching and beautiful experiences on the way to being found. Now, this may or may not be something that you can absorb if you're late for an appointment and you don't know where you're going. But spiritually, the idea that we don't necessarily come to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to find the answers, but to explore where we are, to understand what direction we might go, to realize that for every person, there is a certain amount of lostness in our lives. That's a good thing. That's a helpful way of thinking about this process. Each year, as we come upon Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, will be lost in new ways, and we will have lost different things and different people. Each of them will disorient us in the very literal meaning of that word. When you're not oriented anymore, you don't know whether you're going up or down or left or right. But for a moment, that disorientation can be the beginning of finding ourselves and finding God once again. So I don't know if we are gifted with the equivalent of a spiritual GPS, but in some sense I do know that the experience of not knowing where we are can help us, aid us, direct us, let us find where it is we should be. Shabbat Shalom.